Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver, Olea Shalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hodor edition of Brachas on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom of the Amud at the beginning of the line with the words Tamon Taninon. In the Vilna edition, it is on Daf Yud Dalid Amud Beis. Begins the Gemara, Tamon Taninon, we have learnt over there. And in the Yerushalmi, we find this Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis in the Oz V'Hodor edition. We have learned there that Nashim V'Avadim, that women and Avadim Knaniyim, Peturim, they are Pater Mikriyishma Umin Atfilin. And the Gemara immediately asked, Nashim Minayin, how do we know that women are Pater from Tfilin? How do we know women are pater from Kriyishma that we will find in the Yerushalmi on Daf Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph? But here the Gemara is questioning, how do we know that they are pater from Tfilin? The Rash Cirillo in the third last line on the left-hand column explains to us that really what is the Gemara's question, which all the Mephorshim grapple with. Tfilin, we know, is mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It is a mitzvah that is bound with time. One cannot put on tfilin on Shabbos or on Yontif or at nighttime. And we have a rule that women are pater from all mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So why is the Gemara asking here, Nashim Minayin, why are women pater from tfilin? It's obvious they're pater because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. And therefore, the Rash Cirillo tells us, the lo tema kiven de iskish le mezuzah, u mezuzah nashim chayoves hachinami betfilin kamash malon. I would think that maybe I would have a hava minute that women should be chayev in tefillin, even though that they are zman grama, because in the first parasha of Kriyishma it says ukshartam laosa yodecha, you should tie the tefillin to your hands, uchsaftam al mezuzah yisbeisecha, and you should write the parshias that are found in Kriyishma. You should have those parshias on your doorposts in the form of a mezuzah. And therefore, there's a hekish. There's a comparison between mezuzah and tefillin. And I would say that just like mezuzah, which is ein hazman grama, which is not bound by time, women are chayiv, so too tefillin, even though it is a mitzvah that zman grama, women should still be chayva. That's why the Gemara is asking, Nashim Minayin, how do we know that, in fact, women are pater from the mitzvah of tefillin? Answers the Gemara, because the pasuk says, V'limadetem oisom espenechem, you should teach Torah to your sons, v'lo espenoisechem. We learn out that the Torah is memayet, not to your daughters. Of course, a woman is also chayv to learn how to do the mitzvahs that she is mechuyevin, but the Mephorshim explained she doesn't have a mitzvah in the mitzvah of limudat Torah per se. Learning just for its own sake, lishmot, just to learn, that she doesn't have. She only has learning amenas lasos for her particular halachas that she is chayevin. So since a father is not mechuyev to teach his daughter Torah, because she's not mechuyev to learn Torah, unless it's for halacha l'maisa, and now we have another hekesh, because we have the pasuk ukshartam li'oisa yadecha, you should put the tefillin on your hands, and next to that it's written, ulamadetem oisam espenechem. So now I make a drasha from the smichas, from the hekish, from the connection between limudat Torah and tefillin, I say the following, eshu chayv b'talmud Torah, chayv b'tefillin. Whoever is chayv in talmud Torah is chayv in tefillin. Nashim, she'enan chayoves b'talmud Torah, enan chayov b'tefillin. Women that are pater from talmud Torah, they are also pater from tefillin. You brought me a hekesh from mezuzah, and you wanted to say that because women are chayv in mezuzah, which is ain as man grama, they should be chayv in tefillin, even though it's man grama. I'm going to bring you a hekesh from Talmud Torah. And just like women are pater in Talmud Torah, they're also pater in the mitzvah of tefillin. So the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph asks the obvious question, if you have a hekesh both ways, you have a hekesh to mezuzah that women should be chayv in tefillin, you have a hekesh to Talmud Torah that women should be pater, why do you take one hekesh over the other? And the Gemara answers, because the hekesh to mezuzah is only written in the first parsha of Kriyat Shema, whereas the Hekesh to Talmud Torah is written both in the first parsha and in the second parsha of Kriyat Shema, and therefore that's a stronger Hekesh, and that's what we end up with, that women are potter from the mitzvah of tefillin, because we have this stronger Hekesh from Talmud Torah, which is written twice, and that's why women are in fact potter from the mitzvah of tefillin. Hasivan continued to use the Gemara. They challenge this premise that a woman is potter from tefillin from the following. Hare Michal bas Kushi. Michal, who was the daughter of the Kushi. We find that David HaMelech in Tehillim, Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph, refers to his father-in-law Shaul as Cush ben Yamini. Why was Shaul referred to as a Cushi? So Rashi and Erev and Daf Tzadik Vav Amad Aleph, based on the Bavli Moed Katan Daf Tez Zayin Amid Beis, explains that just like a Kushi, that is an Ethiopian, is separated by the color of his skin from others, so too Shaul was separated and distinguished from other people through his Maisim Tovim, through his great good deeds. And that's why he was referred to as a Kushi. So Michal was his daughter. She was the wife of David HaMelech. And we know that Hoysel Evesh is tefillin. She used to wear tefillin. And as the Rush Cirillo tells us here, two lines from the bottom in the left-hand column, Ubevadai, the Hoysem of Arechas, she for sure would make a bracha on it. If she put it on, she made a bracha. Ve'im Isa, the Ptura, Hayumaychem biyada. We find, we're going to see this on the next Amud, that Chazal were not moicha when Michal put on tefillin. But if they were really potter, then the Chazal would have been moicha. The kivan, the trichin, guf naki, since it's a requirement when you wear tefillin to have a clean body, ustam noshim, einan nekiyas, and regular women are in a state of not being clean, so hayulam limchespa. If she's potter, then why do such a thing when you need to have a gufnaki? It must be that she was chayiv, and that's why Michal put on the tefillin, and that's why Chazal were not mocha. Continues the Gemara in Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The ishti shel Yoina, the wife of Yoina, hoysa oilel regalim. She would go up three times a year. Aliyas Haregel, v'loy michu b'yadam chachamim, and the chachamim were not mocha michal bashol, and they were not mocha the wife of Yona. The wife of Yona was also doing something wrong, it would seem, for which Chazal should have been mocha. Because since a woman is potter from going up, m'oil regel, because the pasuk says concerning aliyah regel, yavoy kos churcha, that your zecharim should come for aliyah l'regel, but not in the kevos. And therefore, since a woman is potter, Chazal should have said, it's usher for you to go. Because normally a person who goes has to bring a korban, he has to bring oilas ria, but a woman is potter from those korbanis. And therefore, if she would bring a korban, it would be bringing chulin lazara, she would be bringing chulin into the Beis HaMikdash, which is an isser. And even though a woman could give an adava, but it would still look like, in people's eyes, if she's bringing an adava at the time when all of Klal Yisrael is bringing korbanos for the Yom Tovim, it looks like she's bringing chulin to the Azara, and therefore Chazal would have forbade it, unless they must be chayiv. Michal Bashol must have been chayiv in tefillin, and it would seem that we hold that you could put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yontiv. You could put on tefillin at night. It's not considered a mitzvah seh shezman groma. Otherwise, why weren't Chazal mocha? This is the question that was asked on the premise that women are potter from wearing tefillin. However, Rab Chizkiya b'shem Rab Avua, Rab Chizkiya came along in the name of Rab Avua, and he said, he argued, and he put down the challenge, and he said, in fact, Ishtoi shel Yoina hushva, as the Pnei Moshe explains here, hechziru oisa, they turned her back. They did not allow her to be oil regal because in fact she was potter, and therefore Chazal didn't want Yoina's wife to bring something that even looks like chulun lazar. And Michal bas Kushi, Michal, the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, Michu biyada chachamim. In fact, the chachamim were meicha. It's a mitzvah seisha zman grama. Women are potter, and it's difficult for them to have a gufnaki, and therefore, in fact, they shouldn't put on tefillin. And Chazal were mocha against what Michal was doing, and therefore, there is no challenge, and it remains that women should not put on tefillin. Based on the Gemara we have just learned, it comes out that min ha-Torah, they are potter from putting on tefillin, because it's a mitzvah seishas mangrama, and mid rabbanan, the rabbanan, in fact, forbade women from putting on tefillin because of the issue of gufnaki, since they're potter mid rice anyway, the chachamim said that it's usur. The Gemara now goes back to the sugya that we began in Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, discussing the bathhouse in the times of the Gemara. And let us review what we learned there. The bathhouse was comprised of three rooms. We'll call them rooms A, B, and C. The outside room, the furthest from the actual bath, the Beis Hachitzon, that is room A, in that room, there were some people who got undressed completely and rushed into the middle chamber. However, most people took off their outer garments, carried them into the middle room, room B, gave their clothing to the attendant, but they were still wearing their undergarments in room A and walking into room B. In the middle room, room B, they would take off their undergarments. And then finally, in room C, everyone would be naked there before entering the bath and the place, as the Rosh Cirillo tells us here, that in the third line in the right-hand column, that there are three rooms, Panimi Lazi Lishtatev. So the inner room was a place where people would bathe and they would go to the Shvitz. And there, almost everyone was not wearing clothing. Emtsoi, continues the Rosh Cirilla, sheyored letocho min amerchetz, he enters into the middle room, room B, from room C, where the merchetz was situated. That's the innermost room. So when he comes from the innermost room, room C, into room B, there, loivish chalukah, he would put on his garments, not fully dressed. He would put on, let's say, his undergarments. And then the Yaitse Lechitzin, coming back from the bath and the Shvitz, he would come out to room A, the Geimer Levishasi, and he would conclude getting dressed entirely. And there, the Noch Sham Shah Miyagiyas Hamerchatz, he would rest in the outer chamber from the physical exertion of taking the bath and the Shvitz. He would rest up there in the outer chamber. So it comes out that at any given time, in room A, which was the furthest from the merchatz, most people were at least clothed in their undergarments. In room B, some people were dressed because they hadn't yet taken off their undergarments on their way in, or they were putting on their undergarments on their way out. So some people were dressed, some people were not dressed. In room C, everyone practically was not dressed. And concerning davening or putting on tefillin or learning, each room had a separate halacha. And of course, the place where there was the most people that were not clothed, that had the most chumra dikadin, that's room C. And the easiest place, as far as these halachas are concerned, was room A. And the middle room, room B, had halachas which were right in the middle, as we will see now in the following brisa. Begins the Gemara, Tani, we learned in a brisa, Nichnas lemerchatz, a person who went into the merchatz, he's now in room A, Makom shemnei adam oimdim levushin, and that's a place where most people are standing in a dressed position. So there the halacha is, yesha mikra, a person's allowed to read Kriya Shema. Utfilin, however, the Shinui Nischois changes tfilin in Oshei to tfila. one's allowed to daven. Ve'ein tzorach loymer shila shalom. And certainly he's allowed to say shalom aleichem to his friend, even though shalom is a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we allow him to say kriya shma and to daven, so certainly he's allowed to say shalom aleichem. Nice and tefillin, he's allowed to put on his tefillin. Ve'ein tzorach loymer shila yachlitz. And certainly without, it goes without saying that if he's wearing tefillin when he enters into room A, he certainly does not have to take off his tefillin. And really, the Braisa didn't have to say this. It only says it because we're going to compare the outer room to the middle room and the inner room where the halachas are different. Now we come to the other extreme. We're going from the easiest room A to the hardest room, room C, which is the room where the merchatz is situated. Malkam sharoiv ben adam regilin liyos amdim arumin. The place, the innermost room where most people are standing naked, so there it has the most chomer dikadinim. Ein sham she'ila shalom. There's no giving shalom aleichem. Ve'ein tzorach loymer mikra. And certainly one does not say kriya shema, utfila, or davening, shemayna esrei. And the Rambam in Hilchas Kriya Shema Paragim Halacha Dalit tells us that it's not only Kriya Shema and Shemayna Esrei, but one is not allowed to say any bracha there, and one is not even allowed to be maharer, to think a Dover Sheba Kedusha in room C, the innermost room. V'choylitz tefillah, if he's wearing tefillah, he has to remove them. V'ein tzorach loymer shelo yitein, and he certainly doesn't, is not allowed to put on tefillah, that goes without saying. However, if he's in the middle room, room B, where miktosna room miktosna levushin, where some people are standing naked and some people are standing clothed, so there yesham shila shalom. So some dinim are permitted and some dinim are prohibited. You're allowed to give shila shalom. However, ve'ein shom lo mikra v'lo tefillah. However, you're not allowed to say kriya shema or daven shema esrei. Ve'ein oicholitz tefillah. He's not obligated to remove his tefillin if he's wearing them, but ve'ein anoisin, but if he's not wearing his tefillin, to put them on in the middle chamber in room B, that he is not allowed to do. So room B has certain kulas and certain chumras. And now the Braisa concludes, aval ein oi loifshan, he doesn't put them on when he is leaving the merchatz, ad sheyetzei me'oisei rishus shokol oisei merchatz, until he completely leaves the entire Beis HaMerchatz, room C, room B, he's not even in room A, when he's totally out of the entire edifice of the Merchatz, that's when he's allowed to put on his tefillin. The Charedim explains that this is going back under Reisha, even though that we said that in the Beis HaChitzon, one is allowed to put on tefillin. Says the Charedim, that was only speaking about a person who happened to go into the Beis HaMerchatz. He didn't go into the inner chamber. He just had to, let's say, rest up there, or he was sweating profusely, and he had to sit there for a while. And Behechruch, even though he's a person, says the Charedim, who wears tefillin the whole day, he had to take off the tefillin. Maybe he was sweating too much and he wanted to remove his tefillin that they don't become ruined. So he had to take off his tefillin. So there we permit him to put on his tefillin. However, somebody who goes into the Beis HaMerchatz with the intention of going into the bath and into the shvitz and going through the entire process of the Beis HaMerchatz, here the halacha is that as he exits the Beis HaMerchatz, he's not allowed to put on his tefillin until he leaves the entire structure of the Beis HaMerchatz completely. Concludes the Gemara, Vida, and this brisa that we just learned, Messiah, is a support, Kai Demar Rabbi Yitzchak, to that which Rabbi Yitzchak said, Begain Rabbi Yochanan concerning Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Yaakov Termesara Hayalifshan, that Rabbi Yochanan used to wear his tefillin until Yaakov, the bathhouse manager, that's how long he would wear his tefillin into the innermost chamber, room C. As the Charedim explains, on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, we had a machloikis between Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan would remove his tefillin in the middle chamber, in room B. And Rabbi Yitzchak said that that is not correct, but rather Rabbi Yochanan would remove his tefillin in the innermost chamber in room C, because he went with his tefillin until Yaakov, the bathhouse manager, until Yaakov Turmasara. So this b'risa is a support to Rabbi Yitzchak against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because what did the b'risa say? The b'risa said that in the middle room, ein noicholitz tefillin, ein echanami, you're not allowed to put on your tefillin, ein noisin, the b'risa concluded, but it also said in the middle room, room B, ein echolitz tefillin. Where is there a chiv to remove your tefillin? That's only in room C, in the innermost chamber. There we learned in the b'risa that you certainly are not allowed to put it on, but you even have to take it off in room C. So this b'risa is a proof to Rabbi Yitzchak that Rabbi Yochanan only took it off when he reached Rabbi Yaakov Turmasara, because you're allowed to wear tefillin in the middle chamber. You only have to remove them in the innermost chamber. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah bo kumeid Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah had a question in front of Rabbi Zeira. Hoysom merchatz marchetzes b'moisachamo. If you had an active merchatz in the summertime, but ve'enu marchetzes b'moisach shamim, but it was not active in the winter, what is the halacha? Do all the dinim that we learned in the above brisa apply to a bathhouse that is not active in the winter? Amar lei, so he responded, Rabbi Zeira responded to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, the halacha is merchatz v'afal pishein marchatzas, that it is considered a merchatz even though in the winter it's not active, as the Pnei Moshe tells us in Divrei HaMaskil merchatz v'afal pishein marchatzas, in the middle of the left-hand column, even though it's not marchetzes, ba'isa's man at that time in the winter, mikol makom shem merchetz lov mikvar, it has already a name as being a merchetz. And now we go back to the Gemara, ubeis hakisei afal pi shein boitzaya. A beis hakisei has the same halacha as a merchetz has in the room C, in the inner room that is where the merchetz is located. So a beis hakisei has the same halacha, and there the din is likewise, afal pi shein bo tzoya, even though they have removed all of the tzoya from the beis hakisei, all of the wastes from the beis hakisei, still, since this room is used as a beis hakisei, and it's known as a beis hakisei, it is not a place where one is allowed to say brachas or kriya shma shmoneh esrei. And the halacha, as we learned in the brisa concerning a cheder pnimi, room C, is that there's no shila shalom, and certainly there's no reading of kriya shma or shmoneh esrei, and a person who's wearing tefillin has to take it off, and certainly he's not allowed to put them on. So these halachas would apply to a merchatz, even though it's not active in the winter, and to a basic kisei, even though they have removed the tzoya. There is a machlokes hapoiskim. What about room B? Will the halachas, will the restrictions, the limited restrictions that we learned in the above brisa, will that apply to room B in a merchatz which is not active in the winter? Will there be a halacha, for example, that one cannot read Kriya Shema or Shemoneh Esrei in room B during the winter? One is not allowed to put on tefillin in room B during the winter, even when the merchatz is not active. So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Pei Dalet Sif Gimel brings down that this is a machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Bach. One opinion says that it's only nageya to room C, to the inner room, the cheder pnimi, that the halachas remain in the winter as well. However, the halachas of room B do not apply. It's only if there would be an erva in room B that it would apply. And the other shita says no, that just like room C, all the halachas apply in the winter, even though they're is no person with an erva there, but the place itself has a din of a merchatz on it with its restrictions. This also would apply to room B. So the Mishnah Berurah says this question is a machloikis hapoiskim. Now this halacha concerning a beis hakiseh is not only when one is in the beis hakiseh that one is not allowed to think in kedusha or utter words of kedusha, but it applies to davening or saying Kriya Shema in front of a beis hakiseh, which is not in a structure, but rather in an open area. And this brings us to our next din concerning a chazir, the mouth of a chazir. Mar Ukva said, Ahen chazira, concerning that chazir, the pig, beis kiseh metultulhu, it is a moving beis hakiseh, as the Haredim brings down in Divrei HaMaskil Mar Ukva, on the right-hand column around eight lines before it gets wide. V'hochi nami, I'm reading Bebavli, Perek Mishamesu, on Daf Chaf Hei. In Brachas Daf Chaf Hei, in the Bavli, we find, Pi Chazir Kitzoya Oiveres Dami. The mouth of a Chazir is like a movable excrement. Kaloimar, this means, Kegraf Shalrei, like a pot of excrement, Shehevir Lefanov, that they passed in front of him. And just like one cannot daven in front of a beis hakiseh, so too one would not be able to daven in front of the mouth of a chazir. And then continues the Haredim, based on the Gemara there in Brachas, va'afal gav de solik minara, even if the pig just came out of water, he came out of the river, so he's all clean, we would think. Ein rechitza ma'iloloi, says the Haredim. The bath that he took in the water does not help. Vidarkoi lelachik piv tamid, because his mouth is constantly dirty from being in the excrement constantly, and therefore, even if he went through a river, we say that his mouth did not become clean. It remains a beis hakiseh metultul in the lashon of the Yerushalmi. It remains in the lashon of the Bavli tsoya oiveres. It's a graf shorei, and therefore one cannot daven facing the pi chazir. Rav Yoina had a question. Ahein srara, concerning the putrid matter, the disgusting mud or mire that is expelled by the ocean, and we find it, the al gif yam, it's on the seashore mao. What is the halacha? Can one daven facing that srara? Amar Rav Ami Asya, Rav Ami the doctor said, Hairi Rabbi Yirmiyah paskins concerning this question. Mavrele bifilius, he puts on it a handkerchief. He's not allowed to see the tsrara, and that's not enough. Veloy samchin ilave, one cannot get too near, even when it has the handkerchief on it and it's covering it, one cannot daven in the proximity of the filius. One has to be dalet amos away. And so we find in the Bavli, there are three halachas concerning tsoya. A person is not allowed to see it, based on the pasuk v'hoya machanecha kadosh. And this is even if it's behind the person, where he's not looking at it, or it's covered. The halacha is, he has to be loy samchin alave. He's not allowed to be too close to it. He has to be four amos away. And if there is an odor that the tsoya is emitting, then the four amos begins from where the odor ends. He needs another four amos. So there's three halachas. The tsoya has to be covered. He has to be dalet amos away. And the dalet amos has to be from where the aroma, the foul aroma, ends. The Gemara will now discuss eating and sleeping with one's tefillin on. Rav Zeira b'shem Abba Bar Yirmiyah. Rav Zeira said in the name of Abba Bar Yirmiyah, Oichel bohen achilas arai. A person is allowed to eat a snack wearing tefillin vein. Oichel bohen achilas kava. However, a meal he's not allowed to eat with his tefillin. The Rosh Cirillo explains that if he eats a meal with his tefillin on, we're worried that he may become intoxicated and act inappropriately wearing his tefillin, and therefore he's not allowed to eat a meal wearing tefillin. However, concerning a snack, we're not worried that he will become shikur, and therefore he is allowed to eat a snack with his tefillin on. Yoshen Bahem Chinas Arai, he's allowed to take a nap. Bava'eino Yoshen Ben Chinas Keva, but with his tefillin on, he's not allowed to go to sleep more than a nap, a regular sleep. And again, the Rosh Cirillo explains that in a regular sleep, we are worried that perhaps he'll be mafiach, he'll pass gas. We are not worried about passing gas when it's only a nap. The Gemara in Sukkah, in the Bavli on Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, tells us that whenever a person takes a nap, there's always a danger that he will go from the nap into a Shinas Keva. And therefore, the Bavli tells us there in Sukkah that it's only permitted in a certain situation where his head is lying on his arms and his arms are on his knees. In that position, we are not worried that he will get into a Shinas Keva. However, the Haredim brings here a Machlokas Rishonim. And this concerns the inyan of Hesach Hadas. We know that when a person wears tefillin, he's supposed to have his mind on his tefillin at all times. Let us see the Haredim, six lines from the bottom in the wide lines, in the right-hand column. The Chen Kosev Harosh, Perek Mishamesu, the Haidam Rinam Besukah, She'osur Lishun Behen Shinas Arai. The Rosh first asks a contradiction from a Gemara in Sukkah, which states that a person is not allowed to wear tefillin even when he's taking a nap. There, Rashi explains the reason is if he's holding them in his hand, we're afraid that during the nap they'll fall from his hand. Here we're speaking about they're not in his hand. We're speaking about the tefillin are on his head. So there, we're not worried that they'll fall to the ground, and therefore they're permitted. And now the Rosh asks the question concerning Hesach Hadas. When he's dozing off, he's not having his mind on his tefillin. So he quotes a Rabbeinu Yoina that gives us the definition of Hesach Hadas. The Loi Mikri Hesach Hadas Ela Kishoime Bischok or Bekalis Rosh. It's only when he's involved in levity, in not serious laughter and joking around, that is considered having a Hesach Hadas. Avol Kishoime Beira. But when he's in a somber, serious state of mind, Umisasik Betzorcho Bim Nasoi, and he is busy with his needs or his business, Ve'ein Daito Aleya and Mamish, and he's not thinking about his tefillin. He's involved in his mundane daily activities, but it's in a serious mode. Loi Mikri Hesach Hadas. That's not considered Hesach Hadas. The Eloi Temahachi, if you're not going to say this, Hey Chodim Yochel Anich Tefillin Kol Hayom, how is it possible? In the earlier generations, people used to wear tefillin the whole day, but they used to do business matters. They used to do other matters. They didn't have their mind on tefillin. The answer is, as long as it's in a serious, somber mood, then that's not considered Heschadas. When he's dozing off, Ein kan Heschadas ki hu shocheach havli ha'olam. He forgets at that time when he's dozing the vanities of this world. There is no levity, and therefore there's no chesaron of Hesach Hadas. So the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yoina go along with this Yerushalmi, that under the correct conditions, one is allowed in a Shinas Arai to wear tefillin. However, the Haredim quotes the Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchas Tefillin Halacha Tezvav, and also the Tosfos in the fourth Perek of Shabbos in the Bavli on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph Divrei Maschal Abaye, that they say that even if you have the tefillin on your head, not only in your hand, and you're not worried about them falling off, yet it is prohibited, not only a Shinas Keva, but even a Shinas Arai. So this question, whether in a Shinas Arai one can wear tefillin or not, is a machlokes rishonim, as brought down here by the Haredim. We turn to Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis Istanoi. There are Tanoim who teach Tani. They teach the following brisa. mevorech pam achas, then when one is wearing tefillin the whole day, he only makes one bracha when he first puts on the tefillin. Is tanoi tani pamayim. There are those who teach a different brisa where it says that you make two brachos. And now we're going to explain these two brises. Man demar pamachas, the one who says that you only make one bracha nicha. He's wearing tefillin the whole day. He makes a bracha when he puts on the tefillin in the morning for the first time. He doesn't make two brachas. But man demar mevar shtei pamim, and we're going here with the girsa of the Charedim and the pirush of the Charedim. There are others, such as the Pnei Moshe, who have a different girsa, but according to the Charedim, man demar mevar shtei pamim ha'ochal ve'inan ilave. The one who says you make two brachas, it's speaking about a case where he ate and he was supposed to have taken off his tefillin because he was eating an achilas keva, a regular meal, not just a snack. So as we learned on Amud Aleph, you're not allowed to wear tefillin when you're eating an achilas keva, and he should have taken it off. Had he taken it off and eaten the meal and then put on his tefillin again, he would definitely have to make a new bracha. Because since he was also to wear the tefillin during the meal, now that he's putting on his tefillin, it's like being mekayim a new mitzvah. He makes a new bracha. But here it's speaking about where he did not take the tefillin off, which he should have. He left the tefillin on. So the second brisa holds that in such a situation, even though he was wearing tefillin the whole day, but after the meal, he has to make a new bracha, because since he should have taken off his tefillin, and he was wearing it be'isser during the meal, that necessitates a new bracha when he keeps on wearing it after the meal, because after the meal it's considered a new mitzvah. And according to this pshat, we'll have to say that the first brisa, which says he makes only one bracha, now if he wasn't eating at all, it would be pshita that he makes one bracha. He had it on a whole day. Of course he makes only one bracha. It must be that this first brisa is arguing on the second brisa, and the first brisa holds that even where he ate an achilas keva, and he should have taken off his tefillin, but he didn't take off his tefillin. The chiddush is that he only makes one bracha, because after all, he was wearing his tefillin a whole day without removing them, even though he should have removed them. Only one bracha on this. The second brisa disagrees and says that since he was wearing his tefillin during Zman Isser, following the meal, he has to make a new bracha. Amar Rav Zeira, Kaima Abba, or though others have the gear, so Reb Abba, Kaima Reb Abba Bar Yirmia, Ba'oichel Ben Achilas Are, and the Charedim explains that he is going back, Rav Zeira, on the first brisa. The first brisa says that he only makes one bracha, and if he wasn't eating at all, it would be pshita that he makes one bracha. So it must be speaking that he was eating. According to Rav Zeira, what was he eating? He was only eating an achilas arai. So the first brisa holds that by an achilas arai, there is no necessity to make a new bracha. Even if he would take them off and put them back on, there's no necessity to make a new bracha because he didn't pass through as man iser. And certainly when he's wearing it a whole day, he's not mechuyev to make a second bracha following the meal. On that, the second brisa disagrees and holds that even by an achilas arai, and he wore it the whole day, he didn't take it off, afal pikein is mechuyev to make a new bracha following the snack. And it comes out that according to the first pirush in the Gemara, the machlokes between the two brises is where he wore his tefillin even though he was eating an achilas keva. The first brisa holds you make only one bracha, and the second brisa holds you make two brachas. According to Rav Zeira, both brises are speaking about achilas arai. The first brisa holds that an achilas arai, where you wore your tefillin the whole time and didn't remove it, you do not have to make a new bracha. And the second brisa holds that even by an achilas arai, you'll have to make a new bracha following the snack. Continues the Gemara with another halacha from the same Amoraim, Rav Zeira, b'shem Rav Abba. And this is Rav Abba bar Yirmiyah that we learned about before. He said, lo yikonis adam lebeis hamayim. A person should not enter into a beis hamayim. There's a machlokas exactly what a beis hamayim is. Others say that beis hamayim is a place where one only urinates and does not defecate. However, the Haredim says that a Beis HaMayim is a Beis HaKiseh, and a Beis HaKiseh is a place where a person does G'doylim and G'tanim, he urinates and he defecates. A person should not go in, according to the Haredim, into a Beis HaKiseh, Usforov, Utfilov, Biyadov, holding in his hands his Svarim or his Tfilin. However, Rabbi Yochanan acted differently. Rabbi Yochanan kad have a Sifra Biyadov, when he had a Sefer in his hand, have a Yovle Lechurit. He would give it over to somebody else before he entered the Beis HaKiseh. But kad havien tfil of ilave, but when he had his tefillin on him, havi koyim boin, he would remain in them. Because, as the Bavli tells us, be'etzem, to be mashtin with tefillin on is permitted. The only reason it would be usur is because we're worried shami yafich, and perhaps he'll pass gas. And Rabbi Yochanan was not worried about this. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan actually wore the tefillin, and the Haredim brings down the Bavli, Brachas Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Divri Amaskel Rabbi Yochanan. So he brings down, Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Kat Havazlina Basred Rabbi Yochanan. When we went after Rabbi Yochanan to the Beis HaKiseh, Ki Havi Boy Lemele Beis HaKiseh, Ki Havi Nachit Safra Dagat at the Yavlon, when he was holding in his hand a sefer of Agoda, of homiletical talks on the Torah, he would give it to us before he entered the Beis HaKiseh. But when he was holding in his hands Kisasa de Tefillin, the holder of the Tefillin, Loi Have Yovlan, he would not give it to us. Omar, he said, Hoyl Vishor Rabbanan, since the Rabbanan permitted one to enter a Beis HaKiseh with them, Nantaran, they will guard us. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains, Yishmerenu min hamazikin. There is a shmira, if one has the tefillin, from the mazikin that congregate in a Beis HaKiseh. The Gemara now tells us that masnita, there is a braisa which pliga al Abba, and again we're going to put in Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya. We had before a machlokus between Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya said, "Lo yikan esodam lebeis hamayim usfor v'tfilav biyadai," and yet Rabbi Yochanan would go in wearing the tefillin to be mashtin. He certainly did not defecate with the tefillin on, because one is not even allowed to be mafir, to pass gas with the tefillin on. But he was mashtin. He used the tefillin as a shmir from the mazikin. But we find a braisa like Rabbi Yochanan against Rav Abba Bar Yirmiya. Masnita paliga al Rav Abba Bar Yirmiya, because the braisa says, Nichnas adam lebeis hamayim usfarav utfilav biyadai. A person is allowed to go into the Beis HaKiseh holding his forum and his tefillin in his hands. So this certainly goes against Rav Abba Bar Yirmiya, who said just the opposite. Lo yikanes adam lebeis hamayim usfarav utfilav biyadav. Actually, the Haredim points out that this could be difficult on Rabbi Yochanan as well, because Rabbi Yochanan wore tefillin, but he would give the sefer of Agadat, as we learned, to someone else before entering. Here, the Brisa says he could even walk in with him holding the sefarim. So on that, says the Haredim, we could say that Rabbi Yochanan was machmer. However, by tefillin, which is a shmira from mazikin, since it's mutter, Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm definitely going to take advantage of that shmira by holding the tefillin, or even by wearing the tefillin on his head. This is a difficulty on Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya, because Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya said one cannot have a sefer nor tefillin. And that's the question from this braisa. We see you could have tefillin, and as Rabbi Yochanan said, this will be a shmira from the mazikin. Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira is going to answer this question from the braisa. Kaima Abba Bar Yirmiya, or according to our girsa, Reb Abba Bar Yirmiya, Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya will interpret this braisa that you are asking a question on him from Kan B'Yochel Loivshon. Here it's speaking about where he can put on the tefillin after he exits from the Beis HaKiseh. Kan B'Sheini Yochel Loivshon. And here it's speaking about where he's unable to wear the tefillin when he exits. It's already dark, and he cannot put on the tefillin. In other words, as the Haredim explains, if he's able to put on the tefillin when he comes out of the Beis HaKisei, then in order for him to put on the tefillin immediately, because he's wearing, let's say, tefillin the whole day, and he doesn't want to waste a minute not being able to put on tefillin, so therefore he's allowed to enter the Beis HaKisei holding the tefillin in his hand, wrapped up, with the straps wrapped up and under his beged, but holding them in his hand. But immediately after he exits from the Beis HaKisei, he'll be able to immediately put on his tefillin. But Rav Zeira, who said lo yikanes, that he shouldn't go in with his tefillin uncovered, it means that he has to put them into their kiss, into their sack. So when Rav Zeira said lo yikanes, it's speaking about there was not time to put on tefillin. It was already dark. And therefore, continues Rav Zeira, d'lechein, which the Charedim explains, de'im loikein, if you're not going to say what I'm saying, this distinction, mitzvah loy ovid boin, he's not doing a mitzvah with the tefillin, lamahu mevazeloin, why is he being mevazed the tefillin by not putting them in their sack? So Zeira says there's a clear distinction. And according to this, it'll come out that Zeira is not arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who wore his tefillin when he went into the Beis HaKisei, of course, was speaking about during the daytime when there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin. It's not speaking that Rabbi Yochanan was wearing the tefillin at night. So Zeira agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that if you are wearing tefillin, Rabbi Yochanan wore it, or if you don't wear it, you can hold it in your hand, covered over by your beged, but available immediately upon exiting the Beis HaKisei so that you could put on the tefillin again. That's what the Braisa was saying, that nichnas adam lebeis hamayim usvar v'tefillin v'biyadoi. However, when Zeira said that lo yikanes, he was speaking about a case where it's dark when he comes out of the Beis HaKisei and he's not going to be able to put on his tefillin. So since you're not going to do a mitzvah with the tefillin, as the Charedim says, kishiyetze miyad, mitzvah lo yavid, kishiyetze miyad, you're not going to be able to put on the tefillin immediately when you exit the Beis HaKisei, so why be mevazed them by not covering them in their kiss? And therefore, in that situation, where Rabbi Yochanan would be might also to Zeira in that situation, you should cover them in the kiss, you could take it into the Beis HaKisei, and perhaps there, even in the kiss, they're a shmirer from Azikim also, but you're not exposing them by not putting them in a kiss. You would only be allowed to expose them if immediately when you exit the Beis HaKisei, you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. So this is the yishuv between the psak of Zeira and the anhaga of Rabbi Yochanan, which follows the braisa, which says, nichnas adam lebeis hamayim usfor utfil of biyadai. The Gemara now gives us the origin of the minig to bring tefillin into the Beis HaKisei, holding them in his hand, covered by his beged. Borishan in the beginning, how you nice on the chavareim. They would give it to their friends. This could mean someone who they really didn't know, but before entering the Beis HaKisei, they would hand it to that person. And those people were really not trustworthy people, and they would run away with the tefillin. Hiskinu sheyu manichin b'churin. So the chacham were misakin that they should put the tefillin in the holes. The Pnei Moshe explains, Hasmuch l'rshus harabim. V'heim b'toich mechitzas Beis HaKisei. They were part of the structure of the Beis HaKisei, and these were like windows, holes, that went to the rishus harabim outside of the Beis HaKisei. They would put their tefillin there. But then what happened, when that famous story took place, Hiskinu she'odom nichlas v'heim b'yodei, the Chazal were misakin that a person is allowed to go in holding his tefillin in his hand, covered by his beged. The Charedim tells us what that famous incident was, and he brings from the Gemara there in the Bavli, where the Gemara says that Ma'aseh b'Talmid Echad sheniach tefillin b'chur nasuach l'rishus harabim. There was a story with a certain Talmud who put his tefillin in the holes next to the rishus harabim. Ubasa zoyna achas v'not lasan, and a harlot came and took the tefillin. Ubasa l'fnei chacham, she came in front of the chachamim, amrelem, and she said to them, Ru'u ma nasan li ployni besnani, look what that fellow, that Talmud, gave me for having relations with me. Kivin Sheshama Oisei Talmud Kach, when the Talmud heard what the Zayna had done, which wasn't true, but she had the tefillin in her hands, and he was in a tremendous state of bezoyan, of shame. Olo legag, he went up to the rooftop, and nafal umeis, and he jumped off the roof, and he committed suicide. But oisa shaw, when that incident happened at that time, eskinu chazal v'masakin, sheyehe oichsam bebigdoi beyodiv v'nichlis, that he's allowed to hold them in his bag and in his hands and enter into the Beis HaKisei. However, now Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rabbi Zira qualifies this heter. Amari said, "V'hu sheyeh b'yoyim." When is he allowed to actually hold the tefillin wrapped up in his hands, not putting them into a cover, into a kiss, just under his beged? V'hu sheyeh b'yoyim. This has to be in the daytime, k'day l'loifshan, in order that immediately when he exits the Beis HaKisei, he puts on the tefillin right away. Avol imein b'yoyim. But if it's not in the daytime, it's at night. Kedela life sham, there's not enough time in the day to put them on. Usser delachain, if not so, just like we had in the Gemara before, mitzvah le'avid boin. He's not going to be doing any mitzvah anymore with the tefillin today because it's already dark outside. He's not going to do a mitzvah immediately when he comes out of the Beis HaKisei. So lamehu mevazeloin. Why should we permit him to have the tefillin not in a cover? It's and bring it into a foul place like a Beis HaKisei, there's no heter for it. The only heter is if he's going to immediately put it on after he leaves the Beis HaKisei, but at nighttime when he won't put it on. So there, avada, he's not allowed to hold it in his hands under his beged because there's no heter. He's not going to be doing a mitzvah right away, and therefore there's no heter to be mevaze the tefillin. And now the Gemara explains in the daytime, he's allowed to have it in his hand, as we learned. But at night, when he can't do a mitzvah, he has to put it in a kiss. How exactly does he put it into the kiss? Maisha barbered Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Maisha, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omar said, Man da'ovet ha'boys, a person who wants to do tov, he wants to do the kiss in the best way possible. Oysa lehen kiss, he makes this satchel, shel tefach, that has a hollow of a tefach, v'noisnan aliboy, he puts the tefillin towards his heart, matam, what's the reason? Shevisi Hashem l'negdi samid, since in the tefillin there is the shem Hashem, so when he holds this, he should hold the tefillin next to his heart, where the shem Hashem will be opposite his heart, as the pasuk says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is placed in front of me constantly. Now, the reason for the tefach is because the tefach will make the tefillin have a hefsik, a separation, a division between the Beis HaKisei and the pair of tefillin. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that this is only if it is a kiss that's designated for the tefillin, then it needs a tefach to separate. However, if you put it into a kiss that is not miyuchad, it is not designated specifically for the tefillin, then a tefach is not necessary, even less than a tefach, by the mere fact that it's in a satchel that is not miyuchad for the tefillin, that itself is a hefsik, and that is how he should bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKisei at night, where he's not going to immediately do a mitzvah following the exit from the Beis HaKisei. In the daytime, he's allowed to wrap up the tefillin and have it in his hands and put it under his beged as he enters the Beis HaKisei.